Hi, Angels.
If you've ever wondered what makes you special, what makes you the unique, magical being that you are, we've created something for you. The Soul Guide is a map of your being. It's a magical blueprint that illuminates why your soul chose to be here, now, at the birth and the dawn of the Aquarian Age. Each soul guide is roughly 70 to 80 pages in length, and it's individually created based on your unique astrology and design. This guide can't be replicated because your birth chart won't be recreated for thousands and thousands of years. Each guide is as rare and as magical as you. To order yours, go to www.thecosmiclaundry.com and use code COSMICPODCAST for 20% off today. Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Cosmic Laundry Podcast, a place where we explore modern spirituality in all of its forms. I'm your host, Giselle Plamondon, and I'm here to guide you on your journey into learning more about your soul's path. I am a social worker, astrologer, and human design guide, and I love to share new ideas, new information, and deeper wisdom with you all, especially as I'm on this path and learning everything with you by your side. So join me every Friday as I open space and explore topics and ideas that will support you in understanding yourself and the world better. Good morning, everyone. Okay, today on the podcast, I really want to chat about the magical hot girl archetypes and where this whole formula and idea came from. So in May, I'm launching something called Magical Hot Girl Bootcamp. And really, like, I wanted to take Cosmic Embodiment, which was the first group coaching program I ever did, where the purpose of that program was to teach you your astrology and your design so that you could integrate it in a way that allowed you to really show up in the world as your authentic self. And so I wanted to take that and then integrate that with some of the techniques and the things that I use to just feel so like in love with my life, like so alive and vibrant. And even to like the things that I do to kind of prepare for summer. Summer is when I feel the most myself. It's when I'm the most authentic me. And so when spring hits, I'm always kind of in a process of like, okay, what do I need to do to get my energy on track so I can be, I can really squeeze the most out of these summer months. And so it's kind of like a glow up boot camp mixed with a group coaching astrology program. And so I know that that sounds very, very vague. So I wanted to share with you guys today some of my thoughts about magical hot girls and what it means to be a magical hot girl, and like just more of what you can expect in this group coaching program. We're going to be going for 2 months, May and June, because I really think we need time to integrate and to sit with all five of the different archetypes. And there's going to be lots of just like little tweaks, little exercises, little things for you to do each week that are meant to support you in really integrating the wisdom that you're learning. And the wisdom that you'll be learning is like who you are and how to be that. So magical hot girl is a really fun, cutesy little term that just popped into my brain one day, because I've been thinking a lot about how to communicate the very specific blend of things that I am and that I teach. So I think that there are magical girls, and magical girls are people, and I use the term like girls very loosely. Literally anybody can be a magical girl. If your grandfather like sits out in the garden and talks to birds, he, in my mind, is a magical girl. So this is like a very loose term, but magical girls to me are people who are very in touch with spirit. And I think that there are many different paths to spirit. So that's why I created the Magical Hot Girl Quiz and the Magical Hot Girl Archetypes, because there's no one path to spirit. There's no one path to feeling whole and to feeling connected. But magical girls are deeply connected to themselves or are always on a journey to be connected to themselves, to be connected to the world around them. Sometimes even to be connected to others. The goddess magical hot girl archetype, she is, her path to spirituality comes through her relationships. So the magical girl energy is really just anyone who is on a path to bettering themselves, anyone who's on a path to discovering more about the universe, right? Discovering more about our lives here on this planet. I think like, magical girls are people who know that there's something bigger, and who are not living. I shouldn't say that. I think that you can actually live a very mundane life and still be a magical girl, but who people who just know that there's something more and have always felt that there's something more. And so sometimes these are people that are drawn to, traditional religion. Like I would imagine that there are a lot of magical girls inside religious communities. But there's also a lot of magical girls that are drawn to spirituality and healing and wellness, things like this. So in my mind, there's magical girls and then there's hot girls. And hot girls are, again, it's a loose term, but hot girls are people who really fucking love themselves, people who are on a journey to just be the best version of themselves in a different kind of way, not in a spiritual, mystical, what is my path? What is my purpose? What are my childhood wounds kind of way. But to me, hot girls are always kind of focused on their own lives. They're very, what is the word? It's kind of like if you're on TikTok right now, everyone's talking about black cat energy. A hot girl is a black cat. Like it's that energy of like, I know that I will get whatever I want. I know that I am perfect as I am. It's got a bit of a princessy undertone, but not necessarily in a negative way. I just really think of like hot girls are people who know themselves and they're people who love themselves and people who have high confidence. And I also feel that hot girls are people who are, if they're trying to become better, they're trying to become better versions of themselves. They're not trying to be anything different than they are. Hot girls really accept themselves as they are. So these are the people who, in the fashion and beauty world are maybe like more focused on natural beauty, right? Maybe a little bit less focused on looking like somebody else. In my mind, hot girls are people who figure out like what their personal style is and they don't necessarily follow trends or do what everyone else is doing. Hot girls follow their own path and go their own way, and they have a lot of trust in themselves. And it makes them magnetic and radiant and confident. If you've ever met someone where you're like, whoa, I want to know what the fuck they are doing, that is a hot girl, no matter who they are. So the people that I work with and the like very specific energy that I try to cultivate in my life is the magical hot girl. It's the blend of these two things. It's the ability to be confident in myself and to really show up in the world as I am and to express myself fully, while also being a magical, soul-centered, heart-centered being. Something that I really struggled with when I first started, when I was on my spiritual journey was like, yeah, I wanted to talk about angels and spirit guides and astrology, but I also wanted to talk about pop culture and fashion and, our current crushes. Like I didn't want to lose touch with that very playful, silly, fun part of me. And I also always felt that certain things for me, so my magical hot girl archetype is the goddess. So this will make a lot of sense. Not all magical hot girls are like as focused on these things, but for me, I was really nervous when I started my spiritual journey that I would have to like start wearing Which no shame to anyone who dresses this way or whatever, because we're all so different. But you know, the hemp pants and the like all natural deodorants and like perfumes and stuff like that just was never my vibe. Like I just never felt that like hippie, boho, free spirit kind of persona or vibe just never felt like me. And I remember learning about these things and being like, oh no, like I am gonna stick out like a sore thumb when I go to retreats or when I go to these different things, because that's just not who I am and that's not how I'm probably ever gonna present. And so I feel like a huge part of my journey has been accepting the parts of me that are maybe different from the spiritual. Or different from the way that spirituality is often taught. And something that I have noticed is that even in the spiritual community, there's a lot of ideas about what you need to do in order to be a spiritual being, how you need to dress, how you need to act, what type of like, you know, whatever, how your house needs to be set up, what kind of lifestyle you have to have. And my belief fully is that anyone can be a spiritual being. And it's really about figuring out what is important to you and what matters to you and trying, like trying your best, doing your fucking best with what you've got. And I really think that we are all spiritual beings and we're all having a human experience, and there's no one way to express your spirituality. And so the magical hot girl archetypes are kind of a way of blending these two sides of myself and, you know, allowing you guys to do that as well, because I want you to be soul connected. I want you to know who you are and to see how magical the world is, because there is so much magic happening all of the time. But I also don't necessarily want you to miss out on the very human experience. And I don't want you to miss out on developing your ego in a healthy way. I don't want you to miss out on building a life that is perfect and divine for you, because you're so focused on what you should be doing as a spiritual being and self-sacrificing. And I see a lot of that in the spiritual community. So the Magical Hot Girl Boot Camp is really about, okay, how do I focus on becoming the best, kindest, brightest version of myself so that I can give back to the world, so that I can be in alignment with my mission, so that I can, you know, have a purpose here? Because that's something about magical people, right? Magical people just feel that we're here to do something, that we're here to change the world. So how do we do that without totally putting our own needs and desires and selves on the back burner? How do we find this really beautiful blend between the two? And that is the Magical Hot Girl Boot Camp. So today I want to chat with you guys a little bit about the five different archetypes and where they come from and how I kind of developed these. And then, yeah, I think we're going to do a few more podcast episodes on the Magical Hot Girl vibes, because there's a lot to talk about. There's the shadow tendencies for the five archetypes. There's like, you know, how do we actually blend? Like, there's the practicality of being a magical hot girl. And I also would love to know, you know, if you guys resonate with some of the things that I've been saying of like trying to find your path, trying to find that middle path between being a spiritual being but still wanting to experience, you know, life in a really big way. Okay, let's go through the five archetypes really quick. Of course, we're not going to go into them crazy in depth because that is what the boot camp is about. So if you want to learn more, you can sign up. Enrollment will be open until the end of April. And in the boot camp, I guess I should say what I'm teaching you is how to connect to all five, because I do think it's very, very important to be connected to all five of these archetypes. We all have maybe one or two that is stronger for us. And I do think there's a correlation between that and the birth chart. So I'll talk about that a bit today. But ideally, like if you listen to this and you're like, oh, I connect with all five, that is great. That's perfect. Okay, let's start with the guardian, because the guardian, I think, sets the stage for everything. The guardian is Saturn dominant or Saturn focused. So when I think of like the guardians in my life, they often have, you know, a Capricorn moon or, you know, a Saturn, like a really dominant Saturn, Saturn in the first house, or Saturn connected to a lot of different placements. Maybe they are like a Capricorn sun, things like that. And what I find with guardians, this is the archetype of the protector in a lot of ways. This is the archetype of someone who is focused on creating sustainability and longevity in the world. So my experience is that a lot of guardians like go on to build families and have children because a huge part of their path is a path of legacy. They are natural teachers. They are natural protectors and providers, and they often have this desire to pass something on. They're of the five archetypes the most concerned about future generations. They're the most willing to do what it takes to become a really good elder. And they're the most likely to do work with ancestors. So they're the most likely to kind of come back to these indigenous ways of knowing. They're the most likely to connect with the earth, something that I love about guardians. This is very similar to the sage archetype, the moon archetype. So, something that I'll say is that a lot of these archetypes are kind of, how would I say this? They're like the higher road or the higher octave of the moon archetypes, because in the moon archetypes, those are very, very specific archetypes that have to do with the blending of these energies with the blending of your inner child, which does create wounding and pain. The magical hot girl archetypes don't always sprout from pain or wounding or attachment issues or even from childhood. You can find that you identify with these later on in life. But if you're a sage, you'll probably really identify with the guardian. So the guardian is really focused on connection to the land and connection to, seasonal living and cycles. The guardian is focused on her purpose and her mission, and the guardian really wants to give back. So I do find that guardians have a tendency to overgive, and overprovide for others because they often are our space holders. Lots of guardians become therapists because they're really good at putting their own kind of shit aside and holding space for whatever and whoever is in front of them. In that way, this energy, it's kind of mothering, but it's also, I really think of guardian energy as like daddy energy. All of my friends who have really strong guardian energy, they have strong daddy energy in a lot of ways. And so the guardian is really someone who feels compelled to do something with their lives and with their gifts and with their talents. And it doesn't always mean like a really, really big something, but they often want to be of service in some type of way. I also find that one of the very special gifts that guardians have is that they are divinely protected because they are under Saturn's rule and Saturn does not play about its people. And so they're very divinely protected. And I think of this in the sense of like they really are here to help the rest of us grow and expand. They're our teachers in a lot of ways. And because of that, they're kind of given this like divine ability to know who and what is right for them. Like guardians just always know or have this like intuitive feeling or inkling about people. They're very gifted when it comes to seeing others. And they're also the people that you want when you're like trying to make shit happen. You know, when you're like, okay, this vision needs to get off the ground. We need a guardian. We need one of these people around because they take things so seriously, you know? And it doesn't mean that they're always like hyper serious and hyper like responsible. The guardians in my life also have a very silly, goofy, fun side. That's something that people don't talk about often with Capricorn energy, actually, is like Capricorn can be so silly and so goofy. And that's what I love about Saturn energy is like, yes, there is this sense of responsibility, but there's also this lightness that comes with it. And I think that, I'm not going to get really philosophical with you, but I think that when you know that you're doing good work And when you're in right relationship with yourself, you have self-discipline, you're in integrity. That's something that guardians value really highly. There's a lot of space for lightness and play because you're not in that inner turmoil of, am I a good person? Am I doing things correct? You know, da 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 da. Guardians know that they're good people and they know that they're doing things right because they are always listening to their inner voice and they're listening to what feels integral to them. So that gives them, you know, ironically, a lightness that is really beautiful. Okay. Next. Oh my gosh. I just spent a weekend at Emma Lake with Danica, and we did nothing. It was so beautiful. We like slept in and we just went for walks and we watched Grace and Frankie and like read books. It was so relaxing, and I can feel my nervous system is still really chilled out, which is good. But yeah, I feel really sleepy. Okay, let's do the fairy next. The fairy is an archetype that's connected to Neptune or Pisces energy. And so fairies will often have heavy Neptune in their chart. You know, a Pisces moon, a Pisces Venus, maybe Neptune in the first house or a Pisces rising. They'll be really Neptunian. And something that I find about fairies is that they have this ethereal fairy-like quality. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. But they are just masters of intuition, creativity, romance, and hope. These are the people in our communities that are, you know, when you describe someone as like a breath of fresh air, or when you're like, oh, I just like adore this person, they're often fairies. And it's because Neptune is the higher octave of Venus, and it's really tapped into this unconditional love, this unconditional. Even like it's like a love and acceptance of spirit and a love and acceptance of all things. So what I find with fairies is that they're very creative and they have a lot of ideas because I feel like they're channeling all the time. Like Neptune energy just lives in the ethers, like it is never fully grounded. And so fairies are often, they just have so many ideas, and sometimes they flip from like one idea to the next idea to another idea. And I think that's so beautiful about them is they're always blending all these different things together. And they, you know, like if I was to think of these archetypes in terms of like things, like the guardian always, I think of like a big, strong oak tree. Like it's a very like the guardian is such a matriarchal energy to me. That's maybe a better word than like daddy energy. It's matriarchy energy. Fairy energy is like a rainbow. Like it's just so multifaceted, multidimensional, so creative. It's like it's everything and nothing all at once. And I know that sounds a little silly, but if you're a fairy, you totally understand what I mean. Fairies have so many ideas and they're very wise, and they, I find, have this like depth and this wisdom that sometimes gets missed over or skipped over because they also have this really youthful, childlike quality to them where they can be so like bright and sunny, and they can have these like rose-colored glasses. They really do see the best in people, and they are deeply compassionate. They're able to put themselves in anyone's shoes. And so they have that like purity that children have, that like very childlike, the wonder, I guess. That's a good word for it. They're really tapped into wonder. And so sometimes people don't listen to them. Sometimes people just really underestimate them. I see this a lot in Chantel. So she is a fairy and a guardian. I mean, she's really actually, she does a good job of being connected to all five. But if I had to pick her top two, it would be the fairy and the guardian. And so as a guardian, she is so protective and so wise and so like powerful. Like she is a powerful being. But it's interesting, people either see that side of her and are a little bit scared of her, or they see the fairy side and they really underestimate her and don't don't see her as the like natural teacher and leader and guide that she is. And there's been many, many times where she'll speak up or she'll step into a leadership position and people will be like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that from you. I didn't realize that you're so smart or so capable or so whatever. And I feel like that happens to fairies a lot because they are so youthful and playful and childlike in some ways. And so that can often be misconstrued as them being naive. The ironic thing is that fairies often have experienced a lot of really hard, difficult things. These are people that when you hear their story, you're like, whoa, I would have never expected that from you because you are such a bright light and you live in such a beautiful way and you're so ethereal. But Neptune, there's a dark side to Neptune, just like there's a dark side to anything. And Neptune influence often creates a bit of a fog. And so in family lines where there's a lot of Neptune energy, there's also often a lot of family secrets. There's a lot of alcoholism or addiction, or sometimes even neglect. You know, sometimes that can be parents that are so spacey and so disassociated that they're not in their body and they're not able to be fully present with their children. And so fairies often are so deeply compassionate because of that Neptune influence, but also because they've been in some dark places and they've had to transmute it and work through it. And so the fairy archetype uses creativity and uses the ability to manifest or channel their ideas or whatever like visions are kind of in their brain. They take those and bring them into the world in a really big way. These are often our artists, they're poets, they're designers, they're writers, they're artists, they're, you know, it's when you see someone who's highly spiritual and then also really tuned into certain artistic gifts. Usually a fairy. I think like Janae Aiko is an amazing example of a fairy. And probably the most fairy person on the planet. Okay, which one do we want to do next? Let's do. Sorry, guys. I'm going to be yawning the whole way through. Let's do the Enchantress. So the Enchantress is connected to Pluto energy, and her wisdom, I have so many Enchantresses in my life, so I'm just thinking like they're all like coming into my mind and I'm thinking about them, and they are so deep and so powerful and so profound. Enchantresses have this capacity for passion and for intimacy and for depth that is actually insane. So these are often people that go into the healing professions. They become therapists, similar to like a guardian, actually. They become therapists or they become meditation teachers, or they're usually really interested in somatics. That's something that I found. And they're really interested in healing modalities that help us to go from point A to point B. You know, those healing modalities where you feel lighter, you feel transformed, you feel like a different person after, that is the work of the Enchantress. So the Enchantress is a very like seductive, alluring, magnetic energy. I do find that there's a lot of like passion and dark feminine energy, a lot of sexuality within the Enchantress archetype. A lot of these people are really drawn to the erotic as well. And I really think of it, or even actually death, like death and sex. And it's because the Enchantress understands that if we aren't transforming, then we're not growing. And so the Enchantress is always looking for new ways to be transformed by life and is usually very curious about the mysteries of life, of like, you know, what happens after we die? And like, what does trauma do to us on a cellular level? Are we able to heal it? Are we able to transmute it? Are we able to move past it? I find that Enchantresses are really interested in the big questions and the deep questions and the things that other people don't necessarily always want to talk about. Enchantresses really want to understand, and they're not afraid of much. Like, they're really not afraid of much. And so I feel like they can go, they often go in so many different routes, right? There's like Enchantresses who do really deep soul level emotional healing work with people. There's enchantresses that really do focus on the erotic. There's enchantresses that focus on, you know, transitions, like being a doula, whether that's like a birth doula or a death doula. Like, enchantresses are often the people in our spiritual community where you feel this intensity from them. Even if they're soft, even if they're very like loving and kind, you just get this sense of like, whoa, this person knows something and this person has been through things. It's kind of the opposite of the fairy. Of like enchantresses, you just get this sense of depth from them, this sense that they've been there and they've done that. What I love about enchantresses is they're often here to guide us into those things, and to teach us how to feel safe in the unknown. So enchantresses have to learn and master the art of detachment and the art of letting go. So they get very, very good at that. They're very good at letting things come into their lives for a season and then allowing those things to leave when they're no longer, you know, there. Like a high road enchantress is not grasping. She's not trying to make things happen. She's really like trusting in the flow of life. And I think that's what makes her so magnetic and so seductive. This is a very, very seductive archetype in the sense that there's a mystery to them and there's so many layers to enchantresses, and we intuitively know that. So we just want to get to know them better because they're so deep. You could know an enchantress your whole life and still not know certain things about them because they have, you know, so many life experiences, but just so much depth. And so I often think of like, these are people who are here to help us navigate these more challenging aspects of life, the aspects of life that no one wants to talk about. These are what enchantresses are here to work with and to transmute and to navigate. And what I love about enchantresses is that they just want to live very, very passionate lives. These people are not boring and they are not mundane and they really just are not afraid of emotion. They're not afraid of heaviness. They're not afraid of diving headfirst into something that, is going to change them. They're willing to be changed by life. They let love change them. They let heartbreak change them. They let, you know, grief change them. They're very aware of how important it is to allow life to be what it's going to be. And they're also really good at figuring out how to find their power in those moments. So something that I do notice about enchantresses is that they can go into these really dark portals of like healing, I guess. There's no better way, like word for it. The rest of us, I find, can get away with, I don't want to say like skating over our healing work, but I don't think that we have to go as deep, right? Enchantresses are called to go into the very depths of everything because they have to learn that terrain in order to teach what they're here to teach. And that is a really challenging thing, but it's also what makes them so powerful. So something that I've noticed about enchantresses is that because of that depth, they have a lot of power. They have a lot of energetic and spiritual power. Everyone wants to know who they are and what they're doing. When enchantresses fully step into their power and start businesses or, you know, whatever, they start manifesting things, like things come to them so quickly because there's just this really strong sense of self, you know, this really like rooted energy. And they're magical because these are the people in your community that are always pushing you to grow and always vision holding for you and always in a space of trust that you can transform and become something better or something different, I should say. Okay, let's talk about the Star Girl. Most of our community is Star Girls, so a lot of you guys will resonate with this one. Star Girl energy is connected to Uranus and therefore also connected to Aquarius. I guess I didn't say that about the Enchantress, but that's like Pluto, Scorpio energy. So with the Star Girl, There is this gift and ability for prophecy, is what I find. Uranus is so deeply connected to the future that star girls are just able to intuitively know what is on the horizon. And so all star girls find their own method or modality. You know, some use astrology, some use tarot, some have really prophetic dreams, some like just know without knowing, right? There's so many different paths to becoming an oracle, but that's really what they do. So what I love about Star Girls is that their whole thing and what they're here to teach is how to be authentic. So this is why I do find, and it's why we named it Star Girl, is that even if they choose like tarot or some of these other modalities, I do find that Star Girls love astrology. They love human design. They love typology systems because they're really focused on authenticity. And, you know, if you've probably noticed, right, like each of the different archetypes has a different path to healing or a different path to spirit and self-understanding, right? The guardian is, it's a very matriarchal, earth-based, body-based type of wisdom. The fairy is like ethereal, it's spirit, it's connecting to spirit guides, it's connecting to creativity, it's channeling, it's, you know, that type of spirituality. The enchantress is like body healing, somatic healing, you know, working with the erotic, working with the shadow, right? It's re really going into the depths of things. The star girl is working with authenticity and just figuring out who am I? It's really a path of deconditioning and aligning with the authentic self. And so star girls are really here to figure out who they are. And because of that, I do find that a lot of star girls begin feeling very different from most people. And then they have to go on a journey of self-discovery and self-love and giving themselves permission to be different and to be who they are. There's a bit of like an eccentric or oddball quality when Uranus is involved. Not that star girls are actually always oddballs, but they often feel that way. So star girls are hilarious to me because they can be the most popular person on the planet and they still just always feel like they don't fit in. And it's often too, I think of like star girls are here to create a new world. They're very tapped into the world that we're creating. And so they have different ideas, they have different ways of being, of operating. They usually are really like cut from their own cloth. And everything they do authentically. Their whole path to spirit is just figuring out who the fuck they are, and showing up in a really authentic, beautiful way. I do find that star girls have a tendency to be a bit anxious sometimes because there's with Uranus, there's not as much grounding, right? There's not as much rootedness. And this is why in Magical Hot Girl Bootcamp, we are going through all five because star girls really need to learn, you know, from guardians, for example. They really need to learn how to root and how to come back to the body, how to come back to the self. There's so many things that we can all teach each other. And when we just focus on one path of healing or one path of connection to spirit, we miss out on these other aspects of self. And so all of these different archetypes have something to teach each other. And so star girls are really they're very independent, they're very self-connected, they're very what is even the word? Like, it's like deeper than authenticity, it's like radical authenticity. Star girls can sometimes be a little bit funny in the way that they will not do very specific things because it doesn't feel in alignment with them. And they often too have this gift of just seeing into the future. They have to develop a comfort with the unknown. I do find that sometimes people with this archetype and with a lot of Uranus or Aquarius in their chart, sometimes they can be excited about the unknown or the uncertainty of the future of what's coming, but then also a little terrified of it. And then they start to spiral. So that's where a bit of the shadow of the star girl comes through, is there can be a bit of an anxiety and a bit of a like, Should I have done it that way? Should I have said it that way? Did it all of these different things. But yeah, the Stargirl is on a path to knowing herself. And in that, there's also this is where some of the spirituality that has to do with certain conspiracy theories, certain like high level theories on spirituality, like where do we come from? You know, is Earth the only, like, this is where some of our ideas about aliens and things like that come in, is the Stargirl questions everything. And that is what I love about her. She's very focused on figuring it all out. So this is a bit more of a cerebral, intelligent archetype. And that is one of their gifts, is their ability to really think through things and to understand and intuit things. So it's kind of like the ability to take the right brain and the left brain to combine intuition and logic, which is really, really beautiful. Okay, so the last archetype is the goddess. There's also a lot of goddesses in our community, and I think that's because this is my primary archetype. So a lot of people probably would have assumed that I'm a star girl. I definitely have star girl tendencies. I'm an Aquarius moon, so you know, I love that shit. But truly, at the end of the day, if I wasn't doing astrology, I think like the goddess, which is a Venusian energy, so this is an archetype that is connected to Venus, Taurus, Libra, those energies. At the end of the day, I've always felt that my job, more importantly than being myself, I've always felt that my job is to be open-hearted and to be loving. And being a loving, receptive, open being has always been easy for me. You know, even in my 20s, when I was pretty disconnected from this part of myself and honestly very ashamed of this part of myself, I still found that it would slip out in really big ways. It's just who I am. And so the goddess is, like I said, connected to Venus, really connected to the lover. So I talk about the lover a lot in the Cosmic Laundry. But the lover is also the enchantress. So lovers can have that like dark feminine enchantress energy, or they can have this like light feminine goddess energy, which was why I didn't call this the lover, because the lover has so many different facets and ways of showing up. So the goddess is a bit more of a light feminine energy. It's more sweet, receptive. There's a bit of an innocence to the lover. There's also more of a pleasure focus. So if all of the different hot girl archetypes, magical hot girl archetypes, have a different path to spirit, the path to spirit for the goddess is beauty. So we are here to make the world more beautiful. And so some will do that through like literal beauty. Like you'll see a lot of goddesses who are in the beauty community. Like if you are a hairstylist or a facialist or someone like that, and you're also deeply spiritual, there's a good chance that you have a lot of goddess energy in your psyche, because the goddess is here to make the world more beautiful, more loving, more fair, and more kind. There's also goddesses who do that through you know, social work or counseling or therapy. They try to bring beauty into relationships and into connection. You could also say that goddesses are here to use connection as a spiritual path. And so the goddess energy is one that is very open, very receptive, very flirty in many ways. The goddess is really, really present. In order to work with this archetype, you have to have an open heart. And in order to have an open heart, you have to be able to live without expectation, I guess. There's an energy with the goddess of leaning into what is present and loving what is present. Goddesses often are people who can just love what is, no matter if it's good or bad. They're just like, all right, this is just where we're at. There's also a very playful energy with the goddess. There's a playful, kind of youthful. This is where the goddess and the fairy are similar. And it makes sense because Venus and Neptune are very similar energies. They're just One is more mundane or like human, Venus, and then one is more spiritual, and that's Neptune. And so the goddess is here to literally teach love. Goddesses have really big hearts. They're usually very passionate. They want love and romance and connection. Those are the things that are the most important to them. And like the enchantress, the goddess really desires intimacy, but the goddess is not as interested in going as deep. I always think of like the difference is like the enchantress on a first date might ask you about your childhood trauma and like want to go really deep with you in that way. The goddess on a first date might like, what would her version of intimacy be? You know, she might want to like hold hands and talk about like your biggest secrets or like your greatest desire, right? It's a different type of intimacy. One has a bit more of an edge to it or a spice to it, and the other one is a little bit more playful, right? But they both want that. They both crave passion and intimacy and depth and love. And so goddesses really have to work through this desire for love at all costs. Goddesses can often be codependent. They can live in a fantasy world and kind of, you know, create this little bubble around them. And goddesses are often very protected by other people. So they usually have to learn how to take care of themselves as well. So whereas the high road of the goddess is just being someone who is open and receptive and loving and kind, the low road, it can be very manipulative, and very princessy and demanding and selfish. So all of the different archetypes have a journey that they have to go on in order to come into their highest incarnation or their highest expression. I often find too that goddesses go through periods of closing their hearts and really shutting down and then trying to move about the world like that. But we do not do well living with a closed heart. Some of the other archetypes can get away with it. Goddesses feel it and it's painful. And so a lot of the goddesses that I work with, a huge part of the work at the beginning is learning how to open your heart again, because goddesses really are here to teach what life looks like if you live with an open heart. I often find too that goddesses and guardians have a relationship to each other that's really profound. There's a lot of teaching that they do to one another or with one another. What else would I say about the goddess? I think that's it. We'll obviously dive in a little bit more through more podcast episodes and obviously in the boot camp. I am really, really excited for this boot camp. I think that it's probably I was really excited for Angel Baby, so I was going to say it's probably the most exciting group coaching program that I've done ever. But yeah, what I love about this is like Angel Baby was a very goddess-focused program, and I think was very beneficial for people who are goddesses. But what I love about this boot camp is that it's really about creating a deep sense of self-trust and a deep sense of self-love. Really, the like end goal with this program is that your self-esteem is so fucking high that no one can fuck with you or like knock you off your high horse. I really, really just want to create a world of deeply confident women, deeply confident people who are loving and open-hearted and on path and on purpose. And so in this boot camp, we're going to be going into the magical hot girl formula, which is how to make sure that you're kind of working with and attuning to each of these different archetypes throughout your entire life. And how do you make sure that all of these representatives have a seat at the table, you know, that you're not making all of your decisions just from one place, because I think that that's also where we can kind of live these one-dimensional lives, these lives where it feels like something is missing. But if you're able to connect to all of these archetypes, then There's just a greater chance that all of your needs will be fulfilled, that you'll be a really well-rounded, multifaceted individual. And what we know about like the more well-rounded and multifaceted you are, the more magnetic and radiant you are because you're so authentic, right? You're not just following the rules or the laws of what you think you should be based on whatever your more dominant archetype is. You're able to be all things and you're able to be mysterious in that way, you know? So doors are open now. You can join us. I think we're going to keep the doors open until like literally May 1st. I'm really, really excited about this. I think that we're going to have such a fun time and it's going to be the perfect lead up to summer just to get you kind of in your radiant, magnetic, juicy energy so that you can feel just so ready. So ready for whatever summer wants to bring you. If you have any questions, you can always shoot me an email or shoot me a DM. I'll be talking about this a lot more as the weeks go on, so stay tuned. And let me know what your archetype is. I guess I should mention, oh my gosh, I should have mentioned this at the very beginning. I created a quiz to help you decide which one you are. So if you don't know which archetype you are, you can go to our link in bio on Instagram. I'll also put it in the show notes and you can do the quiz. So do the quiz, let me know which one you are, and stay tuned for more information. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of our community. If you want to help us to grow, you can share this episode on your Instagram, share it with your friends. If you do that and you tag us so I can see it, I would love it. I get so happy every time I hear about how the podcast is impacting you. Really, that's the only thing that keeps me going and keeps me creating with the podcast, because it is so much work sometimes, but I just love hearing from you. And if there's any guests that you want me to have on the podcast, any topics you want me to cover, just reach out to me, send me a DM, and we will add it into the content list. Hope you guys have a great week. Bye, everyone. Ooh.